Bible-believing church. So we follow the word of God in this church. We hold to the word of God, and we teach the word of God in this community. This morning, if you have your...
Wonderful. We do love Christmas, but not that much. Okay. First Samuel, in fact, turn to Luke chapter 3 and verse 2. Luke chapter 3 and verse 2. Luke chapter 3 and verse 2. During high priestess of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah. Now, Christmas is a special time. A time when we all think of baby Jesus. We think about this child that was born, sent by God. Elsewhere we read, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. When the Bible says God loved the world, it says God loved you. That you're precious, that you are significant in God's sight. In fact, you're so significant that God decided he was going to send his precious son to come because he loves you. Turn to the person that you and just say to them, please, God loves you. The Bible also describes the Jesus as the Word of God. The Apostle John speaks of him as saying that the Word became flesh and made dwelling among us. In fact, it's important for believers to understand that the Bible is not just the Word of God, but the Bible is in a sense the representation of who Christ is in written form. The Word, God's Word, became flesh. The mystery that is contained in that phrase, the Word became flesh, is astonishing. And of course, we, when we read the scriptures, are seeking to do what? It's not enough to know the Bible. What God wants us to do is to live it. For the Word to dwell in our hearts, and having dwelt in our hearts, manifest in our lives. It's called incarnation. So the Word became flesh, the incarnation, God Himself took on human form. And now through the scripture, the Word read, proclaimed, some preached, God goes through your life for his word to be manifest again, for Jesus to be seen in you. The Bible is not head knowledge that is of no value if it's not transformative knowledge by means of the Holy Spirit. If your life is compromised, the same, the deceiver. For the Word wants your heart to have genuine expression in your life. God wants you to deal with sin in life. Not to live with it. Not to compromise in it. Not to dwell in it. But God wants you to have holy life. The life that you've been Jesus. So at Christmas time, when we celebrate and rejoice at the coming of Christ, let's remember why he came. He came to redeem us, he came to save us, he came to set us free. He came to show a way. This is how to live. In the same way as Jesus did nothing except by the word of God. God spoke to them and he said, you obeyed him. So too, God the Father. God wants his word in our heart. So that now we too live a godly life, just like Jesus. The word of God is in the wilderness. So God sends his word. And of course, Christmas is a time to celebrate Jesus is coming. But remember who he is. He is the word of God. And the word wants to break through in the wilderness. Now, this is really important. God wants to break through the wilderness. John Baptist was a man called by God to be a foreigner. He was coming to Jesus. He was called by God to be a foreigner, to prepare the way of the Lord. How do you prepare the way of the Lord? Well, you prepare the way of the Lord by proclaiming his word. John Baptist was one to whom the word of God came. Look at their verse 2 in 1 minute. The many times in your life you find yourself in the wilderness. In a difficult place where there is no one there to help you. No one there who understands. You may be in a room filled with people, but nobody understands, comprehends the reality of your situation, but God knows. You see, God wanted him to come in the wilderness context just like him to Moses when Moses, having left the palaces of Egypt, going from being a prince in the Egypt to being a shepherd, looking after sheep along the mountain. There in the wilderness where nobody knew him, where they didn't even put up his name. For Egypt had known him. There he was. And in the middle of nowhere, and God's word came to him in the burning bush. I tell you right now, if you will take to your spiritual life, if you will take care of your heart and your soul, God's word will come to you in the most difficult places. If you will follow God with your life, the word of God will come to you. In your loneliness, isolation, in your difficulty, in the wilderness, God's word will come to you, because God's word comes to people in desperate situations. And unlikely, mountains. Hagar, the main servant of Israel, had to flee because, well, when you begin to try to make God's word come to pass, you can find yourself in difficult situations. Abraham was promised by God that he had a son. But what happened was, if Sarah tried to make it happen quicker, she said, well, it's not happening, it's getting old. Just take another course and provide Hagar to her husband. And of course, when you do things your way, it can end in a great mess. Instead of choosing God's way. And sexual sin will always cause difficulty and pain in a person's life. You can't escape the consequences of sexual sin. It's impossible. Sexual sin will bring devastation and destruction into your home. Why? Because what you know is what you do. I pray in Jesus' name that will not be the case for you. Can somebody say amen? I pray in Jesus' name will keep yourself pure. Can somebody say amen? When I go into secondary school and teach secondary school students, I always tell the young ladies this, I say, be careful. If a man is not willing to wait for you to marry, then they don't love you, they don't really love you. They just want to be you. Be careful. I say to the young men, be careful. Be careful. Keep yourself for your wife. Why? Because if you engage in sexual sin, it will have a corrosive impact upon your life. It's hard to have confidence when you know you're living sin. So youngsters, I hope you're listening to me. God's way is better. And Hagar found herself in difficulty because now she was pregnant, and then because she became pregnant, And Sarah began to treat her because Sarah was angry, because now she became a bit proud. She forgot her place in the family and she began to behave in ways that she shouldn't behave. Abraham was bringing his head in the sand. He's trying to avoid the problem. And what happened? Hagar has to run away. If you walk through the desert, I tell you, God cares about people in wilderness situations. Because there, an angel of the Lord comes to Hagar and comforts her and speaks to her. God turns them unexpected places where people are in difficulty and emotional distress. He cares. And so in the middle of Christmas, what about you? God sees this one. And he sees that this one is broken. God sees right from the garden that he was going to have to do something. And the world doesn't understand that it's in the wilderness. I mean, maybe with the threat of third world three, everybody's thinking maybe. Maybe as Russia is planning on sending youth to Korea. Because Putin is now talking about sending nuclear weapons to Korea. So he says, if Britain and America can give weapons to Ukraine, why can't he give weapons to North Korea? And the world is on the edge of another world. The world is in its case. We're in the wilderness. We're in a difficult situation. But outside of the garden, though Jesus came into our wilderness, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God breakthrough in the second point, God's voice shatters the silence at the last disaster. Both Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and the scripture says about that time, let's have a look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, and the scripture says that when Samuel ministered before the Lord of Eli, those days the word of the Lord was there. Now this is an interesting thing. The word of the Lord was there. There were not many visions. Interesting. Some of you who are theologians will know that between the writing of the book of Malachi and the writing of the book of Matthew, there's about 400 years. And in the 400 years, there was a question. Because many scholars say God was silent for 400 years. Okay. And there was a question. That was the subject of my master's. When I did my master's in theology, the subject I studied was there prophecy in the Second Temple era, and then it continued into the New Testament? And there was actually something that the Jews called a bat call. And a bat call was like an echo. What they said was that you hear the echoes of God speaking from the past in that period, like an echo. And that was how they understood that God was still actually speaking. If you look outside of it, I'm happy to share it with you. But you hear in Samuel 9, something similar is happening. The people have gone so wrong in how they live their lives that the voice of God, the voice from God is ringing. You know, one of the things for me, you know, if you want to know how do I keep my ear attuned to heaven, how do I, as a Christian, how do I keep fresh hearing God? How do I do this? What is the pastor can tell me? What is the root? Well, I can tell you, the root is this. That you live a lifestyle that's authentic. That you are a man and woman of prayer, not in the public sphere. But actually you have a relationship with God in the private. When nobody's watching you. When nobody's looking at you, that actually your Christianity is authentic. You are a plain person who seeks the things of God. Who looks for God. Who searches that way. So God's voice will come in the wilderness. And what happens when God's voice comes? God's voice will shatter the darkness. And so there's Samuel, Eli is old, his eyes are dim. What speaks about the spiritual state of the nation at that time. They could see straight. Speaks about the spiritual state. Eli himself was in a state where the scripture says the lamp of God had not yet gone out. It speaks about a situation where the voice of God was not heard. There were not many words, there were not many visions. And of course, Eli the priest had to spend the last morning and night. He had to keep it burning. That was his job. But of course, the eyes were not there. He couldn't see so well. Speaking about the spiritual state, sometimes this is what's in us for the robes of clarity. Send robes of clarity of vision, we can't see straight. When you let compromise come into your life, you can't see straight. It's hard to see clear. And in the middle of that situation, God's word comes to Samuel. God speaking in the darkness of nations. God speaking in the place, I mean, Samuel would stay in the courts of God all day, you know, that's when he ministered. And this is what happens because he stayed in the courts of God, God was able to speak to him. If you choose to come near God, God will speak to you. If you choose to come near to God, God will speak to you. You will not remain silent. And so the nations in darkness, when the voice of God were not hearing anymore. And the little boy who was careful to spend time in the presence of God heard God speak. God is no respecter of persons. You may be a pastor who's prayerless, who doesn't believe the word of God, show up on Sunday and preach a sermon. But actually, your life is hypocritical because you're not really a praying person. You may be a widow who never sees, but because you take the little you have and you give it to God, God will show all this and bless you in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter who you are, God is looking for authenticity. Authenticity in your reality. That you're genuine in your faith. That you're going to go deeper in your faith. If you're a husband here today, I want to challenge you and remind you. It's your responsibility before God to make sure that your family is a godly family. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Why is your love just not your husband behind you? Yes. So God's voice comes in the wilderness, God's voice comes in the darkness. The shepherds heard that voice, they were at night looking at sheep, and suddenly heard this choir of angels. Did you see our choir? Wasn't it beautiful? I mean, that was the choir. I mean, can we just get the choir men to clap? It was just amazing. But can you imagine it? Whoever would pay for the most expensive choir to come sing for people who in a nightclub or something? I mean, we can do it, wouldn't you? An expensive choir, you go to a big hall, a grand hall, everybody would dress up. They did that for 2 weeks. Well, whoever they were important to God. Because God said the most amazing choir the universe has ever seen. God sent it to know the shepherds. And in the darkness, they have light. It doesn't matter who you are, God sees your heart. And if you've got a worshiping heart, God will send his angels to send to you. My support. The whole point of John the Baptist receiving the word of God was so that he could be the way for others. And you as a Christian, I started out by saying God wants to speak into your heart, why? So that the word can become flesh in you. So that you can be an angel. You can live out the reality of God's word. Understand this, you cannot live the Christian life if the word of God has not got a hold of you. You need to let the word of God get a hold of you. If God's word has got a hold of your heart, the psalmist is saying, I'm hitting your word in my heart. That I might not sin against you. If you let God's word into your heart, it will give the strength you need to live for Jesus. You can't do it without him. It's impossible to live a Christian life without the help of Jesus, without the help of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus is. And so when you let the word into your heart, you too can be a witness like John Baptist for those who do not know. You can be one who brings people to knowledge of Jesus Christ. And finally, this morning, the word of God brings transformation. You know, when God's word enters your heart, it changes. And so, God's word brings hope in the desert. I remember when Elijah read about Elijah getting out to a mountain, and God commanded the mountain to feed him. Wow. That must have been an amazing year. You know, you're sitting there hungry, there's no food, nothing to eat, and then suddenly, here comes the bird. I don't mean sushi. You know, I mean, what an amazing moment it is, sitting there feeling down, discouraged, hungry. I mean, I don't know about you, when I get hungry, I can be a little bit insane. Okay? When I get hungry, I'm like, I get a little bit like this. So does anybody else get like that when you're hungry? A little bit irritated? No? I mean, Wilson? No? You know, I don't know, but when I get hungry, I can be a little bit short. In fact, people will say to me, my wife will say to me, yeah, have you eaten? Because she'd be like, you know, you're not behaving like a normal pastor. You're behaving like an angry pastor. You know, an angry pastor eats the cheese. They barbecue. You know, they say, you better eat something, have good food. But when I was there today, we are as a family the other day, I ordered a meal, I wanted salad. And she looked at me, and she said, you're not having salad. I said, no, but I want salad. She said, no, eat something. She was going to make sure I was well fed, you know. Then we have it. Thank God for our lives, amen? So God's word feeds. That's how it transforms you. It deals with the bit in you that's not good. Help you. What did you think to? God's word provides fruitfulness. Remember the valley of dry bones, Ezekiel's valley of dry bones? When God's word comes, what is dry, dusty, fruitless, suddenly begins to bear fruit. And that's God's wisdom. Look, you know, some of you know that at this point in time, I'm studying at graduate school, so I'm studying, and I'm doing a doctorate at the moment. And what's really interesting to me is, when I think back to when I was a young man, God spoke to me about a Bible college. And God said to me about a Bible college that was going to establish in the ministry that would encourage those who were isolated and alone, those who were poor, and the church. And I've always had a heart for small churches, for, you know, churches that are struggling and not making headway, always serve in that context. And it's interesting, my doctor would be on how to help small churches. Really interesting. See, God's word transforms you and it makes you fruitful. And possibly I'm going to help more things in this next 10 years than I've ever helped before. And why is that? Because that is, God is about helping you to be a fruit. God wants your life to be a fruitful. And whatever fruit you think you're bearing today, God will increase in abundance more than you're born today tomorrow. That's what God wants. But it comes by means of His word. And, you know, to be honest with you, when I went back to school, I'm thinking, I did do this, you know. But the university said, we really want you to do this, we'll pay for 75% of it. It's very difficult to say no when the university is saying, we will pay your fees. It's very hard. So you can't really open make God is doing this. But what I want to make is this. I've seen and I want to give testimony to the fact that if you're faithful to the word that God gives to you, God will multiply in your life in Jesus' name. I think about this morning and about our first service. How many of you have 30 people there this morning at the first service? And I think 26. And I think about Jane, and I think about Jane's faithfulness, not giving up. I remember when this church, when we had 10 people in it, and he was there, and Tom, if he was there, but Jane always dreamed about reaching family for Jesus, and she's not giving up. And this morning I was there just me, and I'm so pleased at what I'm doing. But her heart was so filled with joy at seeing Jane, because every time she hit that place, she smiled. Okay? Why? But it's just to be able to come. Because, and it's not just for Jane, it's for you. Okay? It's for reason. It's for you. Christina, it's for you. Okay? It's for all of you. God wants to bring transformation and fruitfulness in your life. Okay? It's for you. God wants your life to be fruitful. In fact, Jesus, this is to my father's way that you bear much fruit. Show yourself in my disciples. So one and a half of the disciples of Jesus Christ is they bear fruit. That's your homework. You can see in their life what fruit they bear. In fact, by the fruit you know it. You know it by what they produce. No, God will come to perform you and to change you. And so finally, my second finally, let us embrace the hope of Christmas today. With Emmanuel, God will, not as a person who is distant from us. Not as one who stands in the beside us, but one who dwells in us. Emmanuel. One who dwells in us, not just by means of his spirit, but by means of his word. The word becoming flesh in through you. I pray that this Christmas at 2025 of you will be here. When you more reflect Jesus than you did in 2024. I pray 2025 for you will be here when you will be radical for Jesus Christ. There's a young man called Evan Roberts, Townsend Evan Roberts, he's 16. Townsend Evan Roberts, was he 16? I think he was 16 that he was coming down to the corner. And Evan Roberts was a young man. And God spoke to him. He was a youth. And a youth listening in back then. Yeah, I am coming from the 50s. The prophet took their phones away from the past of and Evan Roberts was a young man. And how old was he? Yes, that'll be bad to tell, but when he was called. God spoke to this young man. And God said to him, go to work. Okay? And he went. So, and the minister, he said, God told me to preach. So he went to the minister, God was told me to bring a message. And the minister said, okay, you can come to our healing service. There's only about 10 people here, but you can sit there. Yeah, the minister didn't let them preach in the morning, so. Okay? Which is probably why. You never know what people will say. But in the evening service, this young man spoke, and when he spoke, people were moved to tears. By the end of the first week, a revival had broken out. Hundreds of people were coming to hear the gospel. Hundreds! Just a young man! Nobody involved in the eyes of the world, but with God! Very important. For we are the ones who receive the word of God. And by receiving the word of God, preach it as we see. We believe what is said to him. That no one was coming. And then we will write it and see it. And by the end of that year, thousands of come to Christ. Thousands have come to Christ. I pray in Jesus' name that whatever God is saying to you as a family, that's going to work for you, which I'll say at the end. That whatever God is saying to you, that you will receive it word in your heart. So that 2025 will be a great year for you. A year when God is glorified in your life. A year when you become a stronger Christian. A year when you become more faithful to Jesus. A year when God is glorified in your life. When your family is blessed because of you. And your neighbors are blessed because of how you live. When you take your gifts, I don't know about you, but for me, the violin. Hearing playing of the violin on the Christmas show, general. It's a violin anyway. I mean, use your talent. I pray you will use your talent for Jesus in 2025, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That you will not let your children grow up be blessed without you growing. Without your gift to you. I pray you will increase, but I pray you will increase also. 2025, let God, what you know what God has said to you. Herbert, Michelle, you know what God has said to you. You now need, you need to choose to hold to that word and not let it go. In Jesus' name. Amen.
How wonderful. That's the message. I pray that this morning is not just one of the Sunday nights.